Chapter 16 Paradise Circuit. Every age has its characteristic language, full of words that would have been meaningless a century earlier, and many of which are forgotten a century later. Some are generated by art, sport, fashion, or politics, but most are the products of science and technology, including, of course, war. The sailors who plied the world's oceans for millennia had a complex, and to landlubbers incomprehensible, vocabulary of names and commands that allowed them to control the rigging on which their lives depended. When the automobile began to spread across the continents at the beginning of the 20th century, dozens of strange new words came into use, and old ones were given new meanings. A Victorian hansom cab driver would have been completely baffled by gear shift, clutch, ignition, windshield, differential, spark plug, carburetor, words his grandson would use effortlessly in everyday life. And he, in his turn, would be equally at a loss with radio tube, antenna, wave band, tuner, frequency. The electronic age, and particularly the advent of computers, spawned neologisms at an explosive rate. Microchip, hard disk, laser, CD-ROM, VCR, tape cassette, megabyte, software. These words would have been utterly meaningless before the mid-20th century. And as the millennium approached, something still stranger, indeed paradoxical, began to appear in the vocabulary of information processing. Virtual reality. The results produced by the early VR systems were almost as crude as the first television displays, yet they were impressive enough to be habit-forming, even addictive. 3D wide-angle images could grasp the attention of the subject so completely that their jerky, cartoon-like quality was ignored. As definition and animation steadily improved, the virtual world came closer and closer to the real one. But it could always be distinguished from it as long as it was presented through such clumsy contrivances as head-mounted displays and servo-operated gloves. To make the illusion perfect and fool the brain completely, it would be necessary to bypass the external sense organs of eyes, ears, and muscles, and to feed information directly into the neural circuits. The concept of the dream machine was at least 100 years old before developments in brain scanning and nanosurgery made it possible. The first units, like the first computers, were massive racks of equipment occupying whole rooms, and, like computers, they were miniaturized with astonishing speed. However, their application was limited as long as they had to operate through electrodes implanted in the cerebral cortex. The real breakthrough came when, after a whole generation of medical specialists had declared it impossible, the brain man was perfected. A memory unit storing terabytes of information was linked by a fiber-optic cable to a snugly fitting skull cap carrying literally billions of atom-sized terminals, making painless contact with the skin of the cranium. The brain man was so invaluable, not only for entertainment but for education, that within a single generation, everyone who could afford it had acquired one, and had accepted baldness as the necessary price.